If you've read chapter 15, you know that in the story, you'll know that there were several prophets that were referred to and where we heard some stories. This morning, we're going to be looking at the prophet Amos. And so I'd ask if you would like to turn in your Bibles to Amos chapter 5. I'm reading verses 12 through 15 and verses 21 to 24 from that same chapter. The text is also on the screen here. This is God speaking through Amos. "For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph." And verse 21, God says, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, and righteousness like a never-failing stream." This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray. Our gracious God, take this word and these words that have been spoken and these words that I am about to speak and speak to our hearts as well as our minds. We thank you, Lord, for what you have to say. Open our ears. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm kind of busy. Okay, yeah, all right. Just a moment. I know. I'm busy right now. Yeah. Okay, I'll give her a message. What is that? Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Bye. Always silence your phones, right? Daddy, by the way, when David comes home, he has a lot of laundry. So make sure you have plenty of detergent for him. Actually, this is very much the point of chapter 15. In chapter 15 of the story, God is trying to get a hold of Israel. He's trying to get a word to them. He's been trying and trying to get a message to them. And you know what they do? They keep putting God into voicemail. They say, "We don't want to hear this word right now. We don't want the message that you're sending us. We're not going to answer the phone." And God continues to send them prophet after prophet after prophet. For over 200 years, God sends a word to the people, and they keep ignoring it. So in chapter 15, we read about Elijah and the one who followed after him, Elisha, and we read about Hosea, and we read about Amos, and there are other prophets during those 200 years, trying to get a message, and they keep hanging up. The story about Amos today. Let me give you a little background. Remember last week, we talked about how the kingdom that had been united under Saul and David and Solomon became divided under Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, and he had Judah is what he ruled over. And then the 10 other tribes were ruled by Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was not a good person. He was one which every other king that came after him was measured by his evil, right? He said he was like his father, Jeroboam. Or he was like the king Jeroboam who came before him. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Well, this northern kingdom, Israel, is what it's referred to. Israel is one that the message is trying to get to. God is trying to get a message to. Amos was actually from the southern kingdom. He was from Judah. But he spoke against the sins of both Judah and Israel, and the emphasis of his book is for Israel. Amos was actually an ordinary shepherd when he started off. At some point he became convinced that God had a message, and that the way that the religious leaders were doing things, that went against God's will. And so Amos heard a word from the Lord to make a point and to get the word to these religious leaders. God called him to speak out against their sinful behavior and against their sinful attitudes. In Amos 7, 14 to 16, this is what he says. He says, "I was no prophet, nor have I ever belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores." That was an occupation that was just common to peasants of the day. "The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" And he says, "So now hear the word of the Lord." So Amos has been called to be a prophet. It was never his intention. It was not his upbringing. And he was to point out the sin of the people of Israel. If you were to read the book of Amos, which I'm going to encourage you to do at some point, as you read the book of Amos, it begins with Amos talking about the sins of the people that surrounded Israel, the offenses of the nations, and most of those offenses were against Israel and Judah. And as he points those out, they're all about the injustices that they had done on Israel and the people and God's chosen people. And he says, "Woe to you, because you have done these things." And then Amos points out the sins of idolatry that are happening in Judah. And then most of the book is spent talking about the sins of Israel. Now, we knew about the idolatry that happened in Israel, but Amos doesn't really spend much time talking about that. Amos instead focuses on the injustices that are done by the religious leaders, by the people in power, and by the people of Israel. He focuses on them and he lists their sins. And I'd like to read what's found in Amos chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, right after he gave the warnings to these other nations. "This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Israel, even for four," that's just a way of saying there are multiple sins, "I will not turn back my wrath. They sell the righteous for silver. They sell the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor and upon the dust of the ground, as upon the dust of the ground, and they deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar on garments that have been taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine that's been taken as fines." God is pointing out through Amos the prophet, that their behavior is not acceptable to God. Amos points out these sins, and it's sins of arrogance and pride. We see that at one point in chapter 9, verse 7, we recognize that the people thought that they were special, that because they had been called God's chosen people, that they were above reproach. God says to them this, "Are you not like the Ethiopians to me?" He says to Israel. "Did I not bring the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, as I brought the Philistines out of the land of Kaphtor and the Armenians from Kir?" You see, God is at work in peoples all around us. Sometimes as Americans, we think that God is working for us. But God cares about all the peoples of the world. All the peoples. And so it was in a sense of arrogance and pride that Israel was treating people as less than human. But there was some other sin that was part of this, and there was a dishonesty that was part of Israel's sin. Listen to what he says in Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample down the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end so that you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out grain with dishonest measures, and you cheat the buyer with dishonest scales. And you mix the grain and sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave poor people for one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. There's a dishonesty that's part of all of this. Feeling that it's okay to cheat those who have less. It's okay to cheat and be dishonest with those who are poor, who may never find out. Those who can't defend themselves. And God points this out as a grievous sin. In this, we also see the mistreatment of the poor and the needy. And as we, in our text this morning, that's what he says. He says, there are those who oppress the innocent, who take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Amos's message is pointing out that these sins, these injustices toward others, are not going to be stood for. And so he offers the words of consequences. He says, this is what's going to happen to you unless you change. Chapter 9, verse 10 of Amos. By the sword shall all sinners among my people die. Those who say, evil will not reach or overtake us. Again, we see this pride and arrogance. Chapter 3, verse 11. Therefore, the Lord says, thus says the Lord God, an enemy is going to surround your land and strip you of your strength and pillage your castles. Beware, in verse chapter 6, I'm raising up against you, O house of Israel, say I, the Lord, the God of hosts, a nation that shall oppress you. And that's exactly what happened. We see that there are consequences when we mistreat people, when we do not show justice and mercy. So the word for us today is, let justice roll down. It's the title of this message. Let justice roll down. These words were spoken by Dr. King. They were filled with fire. They were first spoken more than 2,700 years ago by the prophet Amos. But then this uniquely American prophet, Martin Luther King, spoke in the public square in a way that invited all people, whether they were religious or not, to join in the sacred movement for justice for all people. We know that Dr. King was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was also a martyr of the church. He gave his gift. He gave his life in order to get this word to other people. He spoke as a pastor. Indeed, as an American Baptist pastor, preacher, King was a leader among an oppressed people who had survived slavery only to face systematic segregation and violence. As he grew up, he was taught, slaves obey your masters. This is what his ancestors had heard. But instead, what they actually heard was from Moses, let my people go. He followed love. He lived out the good news of Jesus in a somewhat dangerous way. And this word can even be dangerous today. King spoke as a Christian, but in doing so, he appealed to the deep longings of every human being, everyone who recognized that there's a need for justice, social justice and economic justice, for freedom and for righteousness, for brotherhood and sisterhood. It's what he referred to as the beloved community. Our passage from Amos makes a fierce indictment against God's people. Amos is not easy on God's people. In it, for example, God condemns our worship if it doesn't serve justice. In our text, it says, God says, I hate, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I'm not going to listen to the melodies of your harps. Instead, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When Dr. King spoke these words from Amos, he was indicting America just as surely as Amos indicted the God's people, Israel. There are people who live daring to worship God, but ignoring the message, the prophetic demand for justice that's found at the heart of scriptures. Folks, we cannot take the sin of injustice lightly, for clearly God does not. Right? God doesn't. Do you hear what he says in verse 12 of our text? Yes, I know how many your crimes are, how grievous your sins, oppressing the just, accepting bribes, repelling the needy at the gate. In verse 11, before our text, it says, therefore, because you've trampled upon the weak and exacted of them levies of grain, though you've built houses hewn of stone, you will not live in them. Though you've planted choice vineyards, you will not drink their wine. God is saying, because of the way you have treated others, you're going to be punished. You will not live in this place much longer. God cares about justice. God cares about social justice and economic justice. Through the prophets and through the word, God is trying to get a message now to us too. The message that how we treat people matters to God. That inequality is a punishable offense. That pride and bigotry leads to destruction. That ignoring the needs of the poor, the hungry, the needy, the forgotten, the rejected, that's the same as ignoring our Lord. Will we hear this message, or will we let God's message go to voicemail? My friends, as believers, we need to reclaim economic and social justice as a religious and moral value. God forbid that when we hear about Christian values, that all we think about is who's sleeping with whom. In the Bible, God's concerned with issues of war and peace, with preserving human dignity, with establishing basic norms of justice and fairness. Why do we forget this so easily? Why do we choose to ignore this? In our current day, issues of things like basic living wage is being questioned. Defined as a wage that's sufficient to sustain life or sustain one's family. This is a moral issue of our world. It's a religious issue. Making sure all people have access to care, health care. This is a moral issue in our world. We're seeing it all around the world today. This is a need. God cares about our health and about our being cared for. Equal treatment in our courts of law. This is a huge issue in our world today, in our society. No matter the person's race or economic status, this is an issue God cares deeply about. Human beings, folks, every human being is made in the image and the likeness of God. And to treat them as expendable commodities who are of less value or importance to others than others, with no thought given to their well-being, what that does is desecrates God's image. It's an affront to our Creator. Any inequalities, whether they're based on race or gender or economics or background, even religion, any inequalities force the presumption that either some people are not actually made in God's image or that they're not really human beings at all. And both conclusions are not only false, but they go against the Word of God. And they reduce the glory of our Creator. All people are made in God's image. And so therefore, we should care about what happens to every single human being. And they should be treated with justice and mercy and care. The issues of social justice or economic justice, these are issues that God cares about. And we as God's people must do all that we can to treat people justly, to speak up for those who have no voice, to remember the forgotten, to reach out to those who are marginalized or feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, whatever it may be. Like the prophets of old, we may be rejected by the religious elite. We may be hated for bringing such people into the light or even into our congregation. But our Lord reminds us that what we do for the least of these, that we actually do for Jesus. And it's that truth that is our final reward. May we hear the word of the Lord. Amen.